Homily 4. Christmas, Christ, Light of the World. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. If you have ever been enveloped by a pitch blackness in the wilderness, or even a room looking for a light switch, then you can appreciate the value of light. The first reading from one of the Christmas masses focuses on the prophet Isaiah's text concerning the light of the world, probably the most important messianic text in the Jewish scriptures. Christians have long confessed Jesus to be the light of the world. The very first page of the Bible states, "In the beginning, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good." The first letter of John proclaims, "God is light, in whom there is no darkness at all." Well, I love the Hobbit movies, and in one of them, Smaug, the evil dragon, he brags, "There is no light that can defeat my darkness." However, the very beginnings of John's gospel contradict Smaug and announces, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I know a person who had cataract surgery in both eyes and found the light and color so vivid when he ran into his fitness club that he had to leave to put on sunglasses. The goodness and blessing of light, the right light. Exclusive and even not so exclusive department stores, jewelry stores, advertisers, car shows, restaurants, and so on. They know the importance of the right light. Studies have shown that a certain light on even repulsive foods make them look appetizing, and the wrong light, even on normally delicious foods, makes them look unappetizing. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read of God's creative light, and life becoming flesh. "In the beginning was the Word, and through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind." If God is light, the light through which everything is created and has light, it is no wonder that some cultures worship the sun and have people who stay up all night to make certain that the sun comes up in the morning. The scriptures clearly view darkness as linked with chaos and even evil. The devil is called the Prince of Darkness, a name one superior frequently called me because of my fondness for dimming the lights in the dining room. Some of my wisecracking students used to call me Darth Vader, Dark Father. However, one demon is named Lucifer, light-bearing, morning star. The Apostle Paul writes that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I think of Vegas bars, discos, places for recreational drug use, pole dancing habitats, rock concerts, Miley Cyrus twerking. The way the false lights of this world are used to seduce. When going over today's readings, two experiences immediately came to mind. The first, I was quite struck a while back by how attractive a young woman looked exercising. But when she stepped out of the light dominating the area, she looked most ordinary. So even I could look good in the right light. The importance of the right light. Second, St. Paul's experience on the Damascus Road of the light of the risen Christ. In one of the most beautiful texts ever written The Apostle Paul states, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the glory that left the Jerusalem temple when the Babylonians sacked it, when they sacked Jerusalem, and of course also the temple, which the prophets foretold would return to a newly built temple. Who is Christ, the new temple, the light of the world? So bright was the light from Moses' face when he came down from the mountains that the Israelites feared him. You can't look upon God and live for a Jew. Jesus' transfiguration, light, the apostles, it is good for us to be here. Malcolm Muggeridge was converted in part by the light emanating from Mother Teresa's face. The early Jesuits were awed by the light flowing from the face of St. Ignatius. When I perform a wedding, I'm always struck by the light in a bride's face, the way a face lights up when a loved one enters the room. The old song, "You Light Up My Life." You want me to sing it for you right now? You can look it up. From that moment on the Damascus Road, the Apostle Paul saw everything in the light from the risen Christ. This light is so subversive that the Apostle Paul can write to Philemon about Onesimus, the runaway slave. I quote, "Perhaps the reason Onesimus was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. So, if you consider me, Paul, a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me." How radical. In a culture where slavery was woven into its very fabric, in the light of Christ, a slave is a brother, even Paul's double. Paul also insisted that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How utterly revolutionary. In the light of Christ, we are all equal, all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Therefore, we should see others in this light." If it takes faith to see the crucified and risen Christ in the Eucharistic bread and wine, we should apply that faith to everyone we meet. One mystic writes of seeing everything and everyone, even something evil, in the light that flows from Christ's glorious wounds. Finally, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "I'll leave the light on for you." Christmas, the birth of the light of the world.